Morning. See if I can get this here. I think everybody knows me, but I'm Stephen Lathrop Lee's wife. we went to, if those of you that don't know, the trips have been to Agape Lifehouse, which is situated outside Beijing. And as you know, it's not open to the gospel message in China. So it's a foster home for handicapped children, specifically those with OI, which is osteogenesis imperfectus, right? Barbara always told me that. Oh, and before, sorry, I want to just back up a minute. Would the China team, the people that have gone to China before, please stand that are here visiting with us today? We got Barbara, Calvin, and Victor. Stand. You know, thank you for being here. You know, it takes a lot of your own personal time and commitment to be able to go on the missions. But the original Agape was a foster home for these handicapped children. And things have changed in China, where the government is taking some of the smaller ones back to the government-run orphanages. But the young adults that are still there have been there since their youth, and this is the only home they've ever known. Okay, and so many things have been changing within Agape, within the government, that, you know, that there's a lot of uncertainty for these young people. But God has a new plan and a new purpose for Agape that we were able to share in when we were there. This was a really special trip, one we thought was kind of a goodbye to a lot of people. And I'll share with you in a little bit that that really wasn't the case. Thank you all for your support. The church helped us get there. Definitely felt your prayers throughout the trip. My back held strong, and God protected me through the whole trip. We have a few goodies in the back, some candies and things. Please take some as you go out, okay? But God really protected me physically so that I could experience an environment that I'm normally kind of shy away from, like going out on the street and eating out in the middle of kind of a dirt road and those kind of things, you know, that I normally don't do. You know, they always say that we go to bless others when we go on the trip, but when, I think everybody will speak, when we come home, we are more blessed by what we experience and what we're able to do in the field than the blessing that we give to others. Okay. I kind of learned on my first mission trip in 2011, and everybody here in the room was on that trip with me, other than Stan, he went later, but I wasn't quite sure why I was there, okay? You never really know. Some of it was Stephen wanted me to go, right? And so I went. But he was really teaching me just to totally trust in him. And I really had to just, here I am, Lord, whatever you want me to do on this trip, it's up to you because I have no clue, okay? And I just learned to totally rely on him through that trip, okay? This trip was really different. Our intention was to go and fellowship at the compound, kind of see what was going on, and I think Stephen will share a little bit on some of the changes there, and a time to really thank the people at the compound, and also those, we have two critical people that are part of Stephen's ministry for years, and what was interesting is God showed us, and I think all three of us will say, that he has a plan much bigger than we can even think possible when we got there. And so we were able to really bless and be blessed by the children and the ministry partners at the compound and say thank you to that team that's in country and also the support team that we've had all these years. And the first is a young man named Stephanos. He's been Stephen's translator, right and left hand, when we're in country. And he is moving back to his home country of Indonesia with his wife, Irina, who is from the Ukraine, and their daughter, Scarlett. And then also Danny and Sarah Munn, and they have baby Zoe now, which I don't know if you guys know that they had the baby. They were partners at Agape for a long time, running the bakery and arranging many, many forever homes for the children there. Well, unfortunately, they were kind of casualties of the change that occurred at the compound. But as God works, he's opened doors for them to get some teaching opportunities. They want to go to Bulgaria and serve. So although it was a heart matter, you know, that it was really difficult for them from the heart, they're seeing other opportunities that God is opening the door. Okay. And we can share a little bit more later individually if you want to, that the government has taken the young children, but the young adults remain. And God's working to bring a renewed vision to those in the country. God spoke clearly to all of us. Stephen and I kind of didn't say too much as we visited with Hope, who's now the one house parent there, but we both felt it and later talked about it, and we're in total agreement that our work isn't finished there. It may be from afar. It may not be in country. It may be things that we do to help them from here, but we're not finished. So God brought a verse to mind as I was preparing for today, and it's Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Please continue to pray for the young adults and the house parents at Agape, that God's plan for them will be clear and he will comfort them through the days ahead. Now, before Calvin shares, he's going to come up next. We'd like to give you a short glimpse of Agape through the years.
Saw a world full of trouble now. I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. Now listen. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us to do something. It's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy who tell ourselves it's alright, somebody else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm gonna do something. Stand still.
you.
Morning. For those that don't know me, I'm Calvin Zhao. I've been part of this church for over 40 years. And I just want to share some of what I experienced with this this China mission. So it all started about 10 years ago. And Steve came to me and he says, hey, I'm going to China. You want to come? And I went, no. And next year, he came to me and he says, hey, I'm going to go to China. You want to come? No. And that was in the summer. And then in about January, February, he came back to me and he says, hey, I'm going to China. You know, yeah, I'd like you to come. I said, okay. Why? Why do you want me to go to China? You just need bodies? Or what is it that you want me to? Because I'm not a mission guy. You know, it's like, I don't go preaching on the streets. I'm a carpenter. I'm a blue-collar, swinging hammer kind of guy. You know, custom number breath kind of guy. You know what I mean? I'm not a mission guy. He goes, no, do you know what I do in China? I have no idea what you do in China. You know, and he tells me, well, I go to this orphanage. And, you know, there's buildings that need to be repaired. So I can really use your help. It's like, oh, okay, there's a different twist on things now. So I said, okay, you know, and I remember that time he was talking to me because I was sitting in Hans LaRange Park watching my son play baseball. And I told Steve, you know, it's my son's last year in college, his last year playing baseball. You know, I got to pay for his college, you know, his college education. So let me get this out of the way. Let me finish what I started, supporting my family, getting my kids in and out of college. Call me next year. You know, and he said, okay. So watched the game, went home, and something was just tugging at my heart. So this is what the Lord put on me. And this is the verse. Actually, I told Steve to put up Matthew 8:21, but it goes before that. It's actually Matthew 8:18, and it says this. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man is nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples told him, "Lord, permit me first to go bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury the dead." And it kind of made me feel guilty because, you know, we're called to follow Jesus no matter what, you know, we're called to follow Jesus, you know. And, you know, I made that promise to God 40 years ago, okay? I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. You know, I believe you have a better plan for me. You have a plan for my life. Okay, so I will follow you. And here I am telling God, or telling Steve, let me go finish my work. Let me go finish supporting my son. You know, it's like this guy saying, you know, let me go bury my dad. Let me, and the thing is, you know, when I read the commentaries, it said that this guy's, this person's father wasn't dead yet. That, you know, he was an older man. This man was probably the oldest son. And, you know, Asian communities, you know, that's the oldest son. You got to help take care of the father and all this paperwork. And all this. So he's like, you know, I'll follow you, God, but only after I take care of business, you know. And so that night, you know, I remember this passage. And I went, oh, God, you're killing me. So I said, okay, God, if you want me to go, then you open the doors, open my schedule. I'm a busy guy. You know, I'm a carpenter. We're always busy. It's like, you know, you provide the finance. You work out everything. You work out everything, I'll go. And the following year, I was waiting for Steve to call me. This was like January, February. I know he starts meeting in February, March to set up his team. So so I waited for Steve to call. He didn't call. So it's like, oh, maybe I don't have to go. But then God says, no, I want you to go. So I said, okay. So I called Steve, and Tony answered. And she goes, oh, what's up? I said, oh, you know, is Steve going to go on that mission trip? And she goes, yeah. I said, can you send me the paperwork? She goes, oh, okay. And I let it go. 2 weeks later, no paperwork. So called Steve. Hey, Steve, did Tony tell you that I wanted to get the paperwork? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. We'll send you the paperwork for support. I said, support? What support? He goes, oh, you're going to support the mission, right? I said, no, I thought you said you wanted me to go with you. He goes, oh, I thought you told me no. I said, well, I told you no last year. I told you that I'd probably go this year if I can work it out. He goes, okay. So that's how I ended up going. So my first intent was I had no interest in China. You know, I'm Chinese, but I don't want to go to China. You know, and so my whole premise is that, you know, God calls you no matter where, you know. And then, again, you know, I told Tony, I remember Tony remembers this, but I told Tony, okay, Tony, Steve said he needs help With construction. Okay, I just want to concentrate on the construction part. Whatever they need, I'll just go bring some tools, tell me what they're going to do, and I'll take care of it. She goes, oh, okay. You know, and then, so the first thing we did was, you know, it's amazing. You saw those pictures, you know, it was of us cleaning out the trash. I mean, it was literally like that. Those are my pictures, yeah, of all the washing machines and the, it was like an inch of dirt on the ground, you know, no windows, no doors, no electricity, no plumbing in the house. But the deal is, you fix this house, you can use it for free. That was the deal with the landlord. So, you know, it takes, we're not special people. You know, I'm not saying I'm a special, you know, I'm just a, like I said, I'm just a blue collar hammer swinging guy. That's all I do is swing a hammer. That's all I'm talented for, you know. I'm not good at speaking or witnessing. You know, I'm good at building stuff or fixing stuff, you know. So God takes this group of men and women. He takes a carpenter, an insurance agent, a postman, and a luggage porter from the airport. And he uses our hands to help create just a little bit. That those pictures that you saw was this house, and we cleaned it out one day, and the next day, you know, Keith, the director, says, "Hey, you know, I got to build up this floor. You know, we have to make it even so that the kids are in wheelchairs. You can't. It was a depressed floor." So I said, "Okay." So he's all, "Can you help me build up the floor?" "Sure, no problem. Where's the 2x4s and where's the plywood and where's all this stuff?" He goes, "Oh, we don't do stuff like that." Like, "Well, how do you build up a floor?" He goes, "We get brick and we build it 1x1. That room is about 12 feet wide and 20 feet long. It's this high. And you're going to build it up with 2-inch brick?" I was like, "Are you crazy?" He goes, "No, didn't you see the brick in the driveway?" I was like, "Yeah, the stack was this high, 12 feet, 16 feet long, and about 3 feet wide, and that's all the brick." And I went, "You gotta be kidding me." He's like, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, so where's the cement and the sand?" There's a big, you remember? There's a big mound of sand. He said, "Oh, you have to filter it first. You have to screen it because there's rocks in it." "What?" Okay. "Where's the wheelbarrow?" "Oh, we don't use a wheelbarrow." And then we did find a wheelbarrow, but it's from the 1910s. You know, it's like all wooden, all metal. The wheel was metal, no rubber on the wheel. You know, and it's like, and then, you know, the boards are not even aligned up. Okay, God, so how do we do this? Oh, we just throw the sand right in the middle of the road. I mean, yeah, in the middle of the road. Dig a hole, like, you know, like baking bread, you know, you throw the flour, you dig a hole in the middle, you throw the liquids in. Yeah, so we did. So you saw the picture of Stephen, I think it was Stan, mixing the mortar. That's what Victor did. You know, they mixed the mortar, brought it into the house, and basically Keith says, "Do you know how to set brick?" "Yeah." "Okay." So for 2.5 days, we set brick, you know, with Steve and Victor and Tennyson, mixing, bringing water, you know, and by some God's grace, we got that thing finished, you know. And, you know, I think that was the second to the last day. So the last day, said, "Oh, you know, why don't you just take a break and play with the kids?" You know, and I initially didn't want to, because their kids are brittle bone disease, so, you know, you mishandle them and then, you know, you can break their bones. So I didn't want to touch them, you know, because I was afraid that I would break them, you know. But as I interacted with them, you know, I got to see that they were just regular kids. You know, they cheated at playing checkers. I mean, and they laugh at you after they win. "Ah, you lost." Like, what the heck, man? You know, these kids have no handicap, you know. You know, but that's what going on missions is about. You know, going there with no preconceived notions. You know, God uses people with minimum amount of talent to do awesome things. you know, Barbara, you know, told us, I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, I came because you guys needed help. You know, I can't do too much. I'm old, you know, but I can cook for you guys. So she cooked, I think, chicken long rice and all kinds of different stuff. Oh, it made us feel like home, you know what I mean? So, you know, God uses everyone. The part is, you know, you have to allow him to use you, you know, and you have to be willing, and God will bless you, you know, according to how much you allow him to do in your life. And that's what I wanted to share, you know, that, like Tony said, you know, we get blessed by, you know, coming back and seeing the things that were being done there and meeting the kids. You know, I met this, you know, these they call them kids, but they're now young adults. We met them when they were like 9 to 12 years old, and they're now 20, 21 years old. You know, so I had to tell them, oh, these kids. I was like, oh, they're not kids anymore. You know, they're young adults, you know. So you have to treat them as young adults now. But it's the progression of seeing, like, you know, a kid grow up and become an adult and, you know, somebody who is working and, you know, contributing is an awesome feeling. But I just wanted to thank you for allowing us to serve, and, you know, thank you for supporting us and for the prayers, because, you know, without the support from you guys, you know, this would not happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Calvin. As everyone has heard about from Tony and Calvin here, there's been a lot of changes in Langfang, China. And Langfang is spelled like Langfang, okay, but it's pronounced Langfang. My first time I went to Langfang was in 2006. And seeing from what the initial time I've been there to this year, yes, changes. That's the topic of my sermon this morning. It's about change. And the last time I spoke, you guys remember what I spoke on? Change. And the key idea was, don't be a part-time believer when we have a full-time God. That was an initial change that I wanted to instill to you that day, to change for God full-time. Well, this morning, it's change too is the topic, the sermon. And I know we hate the word change. No one likes that word. I don't want to be changed. I hate changes. As we get older, I'm including myself with this group, we hate change because our body starts to come apart. We can't do things. We can't jump as high as we used to. There's a lot of things we're limited to. As for the young people back there, you hate change. Why? You hate school. You hate the topics, math. You hate the teacher. That's changing my teachers again. I'm changing the schools. Or my life in general is changing because something came up without you knowing it's going to change. Change is inevitable. It will always happen. It will occur in our lives day in, day out. You can't stop it. Slow it down. But there is something you can do. This morning, like I said, we talked about OI. Tony mentioned what it was. I'm going to tell you a little background about my friend Keith, and show a picture of him. And in the song, as we had that presentation, you know, the song says, "What am I supposed to do? What are you going to think about, God?" And the song says, "I created you." Keith is a very dear friend of mine. He's the original director of this compound, Agape Family Life House. And when I first came there, he was just starting the bakery to build, to implement something for the kids as they age out, to have a skill set ready, something that they can put on their resume and say, "I've been managed and trained by Americans. I'm qualified to do something in China with that on as my resume." And that puts them on a higher level of employment level. Something fantastic. Why? Well, let me share. When Keith first came to China, he has two natural born sons from his wife, Cheryl, no daughters. And so they came to China to adopt a child, a girl, a little baby girl. coming from Ohio, arriving in China, and lo and behold, they get there to an orphanage, and Keith holds this little bundle of flesh wrapped up in a dirty rags. Probably the child weighed less than 3 pounds. And Keith says, God, are you nuts? I come all the way from Ohio to pick up this thing that's going to die in an hour? Are you crazy? What are you doing? He was furious with God. His wife Cheryl says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Keith says, why? Why, God? Why would you do this? Why would you drag me all the way across, halfway around the world, to come to a place and have this little child that's so fragile and is going to die right here in front of me? Why would you do that? Just like the song says, because I created you. I have a plan for you. His reaction was very negative, but it came to a point where he changed. The first thing he asked is, God, change my attitude. Change my life. Same thing applies for us. When we encounter changes, we need to ask God, change me. No one can change yourself except God himself. He's the only one that can change any of us. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. God wants to hear from us. He knows our hearts. He knows our desires, but he still wants to hear from you. He wants you to ask, to petition to him. Because why? He wants to make sure you're relying on him. Next slide. It's not about you. It never has been. It's about God himself. He should be the one that gives all the glory and honor, not us. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you create all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. He's the potter. We are the clay. What right do we have to say to God, I want to change it this way? Previous verse in Jeremiah says he has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. He knows exactly what you are going to be for him. How are you going to serve him? That's the God that we have. That's the God that we serve. Next point, allow God to change in you. A lot of us don't like change. Like I said, some of us say, oh, I got a bad habit. Maybe I smoke. I can't change. I can never change. But you know what? God can change you. But you got to allow him to change you. You can't just say, well, this is the way I am. Tell you what, those kids, they're born with OI. And they're probably going to say, oh, this is the way I am. I can't change. But you know what? They may not change on the outside. But inside, there's a big change in their heart. The change that they see, the love of God, the love of Jesus in their life. Whereas they encounter day by new day, they renew their minds, they renew their relationship with the Lord day by day. Not once I've ever heard, since I've been going with teams after teams, I've never heard any of them complain or bicker among themselves. I hear that over here with our youth. I hear that over here with our older guys. We don't have any young ones or any young people here, so they're out. But there's bickering. Why? It's because we haven't asked God, and we haven't asked and allowed God to change our hearts, to let us live for him like these kids. It's magnificently wonderful to see these children to work together as a team. There's circumstances and the Holy Spirit that can change us. I'm briefly going through all this because I know I'm running a little out of time here. But can you imagine if we didn't allow the Holy Spirit change our hearts? What would your life be? I can't imagine. He's going to challenge us. He's going to give us a reason to follow him. And there are so many things that we encounter, like I said. The next slide, we have a picture of the bakery staff. As you can see, from the far left, that's me in the back row, and my wife next. After then, to her left is Stacy. She's one of the older bakery girls that we call. She's only there temporary that we know of. Hopefully, she'll stay a little longer than today. And then to her left is Hope and Aaron. They were there in 2006, and then they left for 5 years. Aaron, her husband, became a pastor in Kansas for 5 years, speaking at a Mandarin-speaking church. And I asked, well, is there a lot of Chinese in Kansas? And he says, yeah, 2,000. Whoa, 2,000 Chinese in Kansas going to your church? He goes, oh, no. They only lived there. Oh, still is amazing. There were about 80 to 100 that's going to his church. But still, that's not bad. How many Chinese we got in this island? One, two, three, four, okay, five or six, okay. We need more Chinese in this church, guys. Okay. But the amazing part is they were called to come back to China. As Tony indicated, but Hope is the new director for the compound. Aaron is now managing the bakery. But they were called to come back to China. They had no idea why. And so they asked their son from Kansas City and said, where would you like to go? And the son, Joshua, how old is he? 8 years old, right? He's been gone for 5 years or 3 years, whatever. His first response to mom was, I want to go back home to China. Why? No one knew until they got here to Longfang and they saw what had made the changes because Keith has passed away, Pastor Rick has passed away, others have left, and now it's just an empty shell of these people left. And now the vision was they were brought back home to China, to Longfang, to help run Agape and the Bakery of Life. Wow. That was the vision they caught. Why? Because of the change of their hearts. They asked God, and they allowed God to make those changes. Third point. Acknowledge God for the changes. Oh, yeah, maybe I'm in the past in my life, I was very unkempt and really a messy person, an unorganized person. But today, I am really organized a lot better. I get that credit, right? No. God gets the credit. God always gets the credit. He gets the honor and glory. We don't get that. Why? Because it's him that makes that change in us. It's him that makes that change in me. It's him who makes that change in you. We don't get the credit. I don't get the credit, but God does. And all glory and praise goes to him. Amen? Amen? Okay, I thought I'm testing, make sure you're not falling asleep. Okay. Keith realized that the change was God that made the changes in his heart, the vision, and the vision became reality. He loved the people of China. When he was stuck in Ohio, he was very prejudiced. He didn't like the Mexicans. He didn't like the blacks. He didn't like the Asians. Where did God send him? Right smack in the middle of China. Who worked with him? He had a black man and a Mexican working with him. You think it's funny? You think it's funny? God is hilarious. Because he wants to see, are you willing to change for him? That's the way God operates. He's in the ministry of changing lives, starting with you, 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 and you, and me. I'm not exempt. Today, we see a vision that's been fulfilled, and here we have the hospital. This is the one and only bone hospital in China. And Dr. Wu, who is the head doctor there, he became a believer under Keith. And the first thing Keith said to him, Dr. Wu, don't ever let this go to your head. You always bring honor and glory to God. He's number one. And if you don't, God's going to punish you and take this whole thing away from you. That was a fear that Keith had put into this doctor. And now he has this 5-6-story building, massive building, so clean. We had the privilege of visiting in there. So it was a pleasure to really see from the time last time we came, it was just a shell. Wasn't complete at all. But to see it like this, change like this, was great. The next slide you'll find is the new leaders. And should be number 14. Okay? And like I said, Hope and Aaron is the one. And this is Dr. Wu's wife, Mrs. Wang. She is pretty much the manager of the whole area of the compound. And she looks at the books and guards the books and everything. And helps them manage this place. By the way, did I say they're all volunteers? They're not paid staff? They're serving from the heart of God. When I was told this, I said, wow, you're doing this full time? How are you guys getting paid? Well, Mrs. Wang says, my husband is the head surgeon of the hospital. And plus, she teaches at Beijing University. She's one of the professors that teaches Chinese. Hope and Aaron. Aaron is a pastor of one of the underground churches. Hope is the liaison for all the underground churches in Beijing and as well as the southern part of China. She has sent us as teams to go and minister to other pastors in the past. So she's a key person in that area. Vital individuals. But they all have come back, especially Hope and Aaron, you know. But those are the new leaders. The next slide, we have the ones that actually went. On my left is Danny and Sarah, and the little one is Zoe. Danny was one that was in charge of the bakery. Sarah was in charge of actually moving children out of the orphanage to get them into a forever home. And she did an excellent job. In fact, with all the kids, every time we go, there's new kids coming in, and all the kids are gone. It's because of Sarah finding forever homes. She did a magnificent job of that. The right, Stephanos, is my key man. He's my anchor, you might say, because I depended on him for translation. And most important part is taking care of the team, making sure there's Western-style toilets, water that we can drink, ice that we have, food that's delectable, flavorful, something that we say, we want to come back. And so this last trip, he says, I got a restaurant for you. It's really good. It's been around for about, how long you said? About 6-7 years, the Western, the barbecue. We went there, and it was absolutely wonderful. I said, Stephanos, you're holding out on me. Why did you take to our team to this barbecue place? It was great, you know. But Irina, again, like Tony says, she's from Ukraine, and their daughter, Scarlett. She's now 6. But these guys are in the process of leaving or already left. I want to close right now because I'm out of time. And I asked the worship team to come up. As I close here, I want to ask and challenge you all. Are you ready for a change in your life? Are you tired of doing the same thing over and over and not seeing any results? Are you tired of your own power? Maybe there's something in your life that you want to see change, but you don't know how to do it. You don't know where to start. Well, this morning, I'm going to give you a jump start. All heads bowed, eyes closed. ask God this morning, God, change me. Change me so that I'll be willing to allow you to make that change. I need you to make that change in my life. Whatever I'm going through this morning or this week, it's been a challenging week, and I need that change. What happened if Keith hadn't made that change? Where would this community, where would Long Phong be? Where would Agape be? The same thing in your life. If you don't make this change, what would happen? What would you be missing? Ask him and acknowledge that he is the only one who can make that change. And Lord, as we sing this last song, The Stand, if you are committed to wanting to make that change, I ask you to stand for him as he allows that change in your life. And all God's people say, amen.